Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We hear again the gospel for today, and at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Please be seated. It always speeds up church when you come on New Year's Day. For one reason, a lot of people don't come to church on New Year's Day, even if it's a Sunday morning, and they normally come to church because New Year's Eve and holiday travels and all of the other things that get in the way. And yet, by the Christian calendar and by these words right here, this should be a day when the house is packed. But the scriptures will still be short. If you have them, like we do here, printed in the bulletin, even with a large font face, it only takes half a page. It's not like some of those where you've got those little tiny letters that even if you have an eagle eye, you almost need a magnifying glass to read along. And a lot of times they've even cut some of it out. And they leave some of it in the book up here for the pastor to read that you don't even see. And you need to pack a lunch to get through the Old Testament or the Epistle or maybe even the Gospel. But not today. From Numbers, from Galatians, and from Luke, short and sweet and to the point. And it's all pointing to the same thing. The same thing that every church service should point to throughout all of Christendom every time we gather together. The classic children's sermon answer to the question, if you aren't sure what to say and the pastor asks, you just say Jesus. You may be wrong, but probably not. Of course, we do have that old thing, Jesus is the answer, and then the wise guy responds, well, what's the question? Well, the question is, who saves you? Who delivers you? Who redeems you? Who cares for you? Who lived for you? Who suffered for you? Who died for you? Who rose again from the dead for you? Who ascended to the Father's right hand? Who pleads on your behalf? Who is going to come in judgment, but also then to release you from all the fetters of this fallen creation? And all God's people can say again, Jesus. Jesus, the name of wondrous love. And Jesus is more than just a name. It's also a job description. There are a few instances in Scripture that focus a bit on the eighth day and the things that go on around it. When God first calls Abram and gives him the new name, he also then establishes the covenant of circumcision. And it's supposed to be a lasting statute. We have that then at Sinai. Well, before that already with Moses and the things that are going on there. But when God lays it out for all of Israel, it's mentioned in passing or in detail in various spots. Sometimes because, as in the case of Levi and Simeon, they use it to get even with the person who raped their sister. We have it at the time of David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and got her pregnant, and then got her husband murdered to try covering up his sin. And the prophet Nathan came in and accused him. And after the child was born, Nathan brought the word of the Lord saying that child would die. Before the eighth day, before it could be circumcised, before it could be named. And for 7 days, David prayed and fasted, and on the seventh day, the child died and never did get a name. But then, although that relationship started out shamefully and continued violently, it was finally blessed. And she conceived and bore a child. And on the eighth day, David called that child Shlomo, or what we would say Solomon. His peace. A statement by him on this day that the child receives the name that David was at peace with God. God was at peace with David. The throne would continue. The scepter would belong to Judah, to the household of Jesse, of David. And God gave him another name. God called him Jedediah, beloved of the Lord. Names are important. We get to the New Testament, and there's two big naming ceremonies that are focused on. The first one is Jesus' kinsman, conceived and born just 6 months ahead of schedule for Jesus. Elizabeth, and then Zechariah, too old to have a baby, have a baby. And Zechariah can't believe it. So even though the angel says, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call him John, and he's going to do all these things, he mocks the Lord in his heart, and so the Lord strikes him mute. And when he's done in serving in the temple, he goes back home. And he gets his wife pregnant, and she has a son. And they wait through those 7 days for the day of naming, and everybody in the family who lives in the area come together. What are you going to call him? Call him Zechariah. Pick out some other name. Mom says, no, his name is John. Yeah, right. There's no Johns in your family. Yochanan. So they say, well, Dad, what's it going to be? So he asks for a tablet. He writes it down. His name is John. And just that quickly, the Lord released him from the sentence of silence. And the things he had been wanting to say and sing and shout for that whole 9 months that he had seen his wife pregnant and growing and had anticipated the birth of this son with that angelic messenger kicking everything off. And he gives him that name. Now we would say in English, John's no big deal. But like the Johnny Cash song, if you went to the original, it would be a boy named Grace. We always think of that as more of a girl's name. But this is the grace of the Lord. God's undeserved mercy toward sinners. God choosing to love unlovable people, to save people who cannot save themselves. And this is worth singing and shouting about. And so Zechariah celebrates first in general what God is doing, saving his people, saving all the world. And then on his 8th day of life, this poor little baby who's never hurt anybody, he dumps this job description. You, child, will be called prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways in holiness and righteousness before him all the days. You will announce forgiveness. Baby doesn't know what's going on. He's 8 days old. But this is his job tied to his name. God's grace spilling out to call sinners to repentance, to call sinners to new life, to call sinners to listen to the one who'll be named 6 months later, to Jesus. We sang about this name above all names and how the virgin received the name from the angel. But God doubled down on that, didn't he? Because not only did the virgin receive that name, but when Joseph found out his wife was pregnant and was going to set her aside quietly, the angel came to him in a vision, in a dream, and said, don't do that because the child that is conceived in her is of God. And you will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The Lord is salvation. Joshua, Yehoshua, Yeshua. You hear it pronounced differently at different times. This name was already the name of one of Israel's great saviors. The guy who tagged off from Moses and led them into the promised land and chased people away and marched around Jericho and with Israel saw the walls come tumbling down. Same name, but even more packed into it. Because Joshua helps to save this people at this time so that they can have the land that God swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to their fathers in antiquity. But Jesus. Jesus comes to save not just Israel, not just from the Egyptians, or the Edomites, or all the other ites who surround them. But this Jesus, in the fullness of this name, comes to save all people. In his circumcision, he enters under the full covenant law of Israel. All the rights, all the responsibilities, all the duties, all the restrictions. His parents declare that he is under the covenant established with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he's under the covenant that God renewed on Sinai. That he is of these people. But in receiving this name, then, it also identifies him as one coming from God to do the special things of God, to be the Savior that the world's been crying out for ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin. This name Jesus means that he is the one who God threatened the serpent with in the garden and said, he will crush your head. And so it would happen. So Jesus comes in under the law that he might fulfill the law. The law for Israel that was specific to the Hebrew people, but also then the law for all mankind on murder, on adultery, on false testimony, and all the other sinful, shameful things that the entire world at its best times condemns and at its worst embraces and that usually goes back and forth between. This Jesus comes to save. And we need it. Because if we are going to be branded with a name, sinful, shameful, blasphemous, liar, cheater, never finish anything. Promise big, respond small, whatever. You could pile on all sorts of names for yourself, and every time you look in the mirror, you could probably add one. I know it'd be the case for me. And we start young, disobeying our parents, having tantrums for no apparent reason. And then we grow and develop more sophisticated ways of rebelling against one another, against the law of the land, against parental authority, and most of all, and always, against God. Maybe rebel would be a good name. A name that some people embrace and hold high. But when you realize what the rebellion is all about, it's not so much something to be proud about, is it? But God, in naming his son Jesus, then is also preparing to give you a name. Just as in circumcision, throughout all of the Old Testament, there's an implied name given with every given name to those boys. And the girls, although not circumcised, would also then be named. But the implied name then is also Israelite, son of Abraham, child of the covenant. Jesus also then, all of those things. But he is named that so that he can give you a name in your baptism. So that even as in the font, you are called so-and-so. And the pastor baptizes you with that name. We call them Christian names. And we talk about christening because it is Christ put on us. And it is God calling us by name, as he will continue to call us by name, even though we don't always hear, and as he will finally call us by name to call us to live with him forevermore. But we are also named at that same time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are given our family name at the same time that our Christian name is broadcast to everyone. And so whatever they say at your baptism, his name is such and such, her name is so and so, for all of us, their name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Their name is, as we have in our epistle today, sons of God. Men and women as sons of God, because all of us have the sonship of Christ Jesus. The perfect child. The one who never did wrong. The one who fulfilled the law absolutely and completely. And paid for the consequences of us not fulfilling it. And we bear that name throughout life, and that identity, and that purpose. And so, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And in our baptism, we are called by the name that God has given us, and has known us by before we were conceived in the womb. In fact, before the world was founded, we were already known by God, and loved by him. And desired by him to be with him forever and ever. And we continue to have that name placed upon us every sermon should re-identify you as a believing, beloved child of God. Give you that name again and again. Every service that we have, at least our communion services, starts that way. Not only do we call upon the Lord, but we are also called by the Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when we close our services, we receive either the New Testament benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Or we receive, as we heard in our Old Testament reading today, put my name on them. Moses, you tell Aaron. Aaron and your sons, you tell the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. To raise up his face and look right at you and say, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. You are mine forever. Because you are. And you should remember that. And you should cling to that. And you should rejoice in that. That God, who named his Son, the Lord is salvation, has named you then through the work of his Son as his own dear children. And the same love that he has for Jesus, he has for you. And the same peace that the Lord came to bring has not changed in the intervening years. Still, that peace which the world cannot give, still that peace that surpasses understanding, is still that peace that stills our troubled hearts. So whether the name of Jesus is shouted from the rooftops or whispered in our ears, whether it's sung about, prayed to, preached over, it is your name also. Because the Lord is your salvation. The Lord is the one who rescues you. The Lord is the one who named you, who names you, who claimed you, and who claims you. You were baptized. You are baptized. And you will remain the baptized, named, and beloved children of God for the sake of this Jesus, who got his entire job description in one little name on his eighth day of life. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins, the angel told Joseph. And now we can look back and say, by God, he did. And it wasn't just his people Israel, but his people throughout the world. His people in Fayette on the dawning of the year 2017, the year of our Lord. But indeed, even in the years B.C. before Christ, those were already the years of our Lord. Because those who belonged to the Lord were always known by him, loved by him, and called by him. And he knows you, and he loves you, and he calls you. And he will keep you to the end and beyond the end into life everlasting. Amen. That peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.